So, consideration of claims.
Move to approve as presented.
I will second. I have a question. I believe I know the answer, but I want to clarify.
Yep.
Both you and I have reimbursement for actual expenses in this one. We don't have to pull for that, correct?
My reimbursement is for breakfast pizza. Noelle, who did we do breakfast pizza? For community services, I went and bought the breakfast pizza.
And my reimbursement is for some lodging and registration for the Iowa Finance Authority's housing conference.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, I think it's good to note, but no, we don't have to pull it. So we got a motion and a second. Chitty?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Minutes from the 9th, the 14th, and the city election canvas.
I would move we approve as presented.
Second.
Olson?
Aye.
Chitty?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Personnel actions as listed for it.
As presented.
I second.
Chitty?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Personnel actions pass. Consent agenda.
I would move as presented.
Second.
Olson?
Aye.
Chitty?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. That takes care of consent agenda. Let's see, no public hearing items today. Additional items, discussion and consideration of revised onboarding program. Well, and Rachel, good morning.
Good morning.
Here to talk about onboarding today. This project has been in the works for a few years. I'm really excited we're to the point where we can share our ideas with you. So we started researching best onboarding practices, and there's obviously several ideas and suggestions, but the trend that we found is that it's really important to do a good first impression. And so we want to make sure we're putting our best foot forward in hopes that they feel that they made the right decision joining Story County. Our current onboarding program, I thought it'd be beneficial to give you a quick overview on what we do currently. New employees meet with human resources on their first day. We review benefit package, fill out the required forms, and then discuss general guidelines, policies, and procedures. And then we hand them over to the department, and they do their own department orientation. We want to continue with that practice, but we just want to enhance our onboarding program. And so we propose to include Story County orientation with our onboarding program. And the onboarding experience will be designed to bring our newest employees up to speed while actively involving them and engaging them in our culture. And our hope is that this experience helps ensure that those who are added to our story feel as much part of the Story County culture as those who have been employed here for years. As far as format, we would like to do quarterly breakfasts. I did get some feedback from several different departments on what the best time of day would be. Obviously, with three different shifts, it's very challenging to find the ideal time, but the consensus was 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. We'd like to host this in January, April, July, and October. Our first tentative scheduled event would be April 11th. And then, so starting at 8 o'clock, we would provide a light breakfast, and then we'd like to have the new employees welcomed by the Board of Supervisors. Following that, Deb Childrath and Melissa Woodnall would provide an overview of county services, and then Leanne would touch on our mission and values. And then at 8:30, we present a video that would be approximately 20 to 30 minutes long. This is a video that can be created in-house by Leanne and Chrissy, who's our communications and social media intern. As far as content, we'd like the generic overview of each department that would be provided by each department head and elected official. And then we'd highlight some county events. I just put a few in there. Recognition, Team Story, Wellness Events, United Way Day of Caring, and Teams for a Cause. And then Alyssa would provide information on the professional development and trainings that we offer here for management and employees. And then we'd like to end the video with some testimonies from employees, preferably three long-standing employees.
Oh, Can you back up under 8:30 a.m., full size will be available on the internet.
Yes. So we're going to have to condense the overviews that each department head provides.
The full video will be longer than 30 minutes.
Okay, so that's all right. So then we're really talking about two versions.
Exactly.
Thank
yep,
you.
Yep. So the full
thank
site
you.
Would
that's
like to have available on the internet for new employees and current employees
sure.
if they want
okay.
to learn more about
sure.
each
okay,
department.
Super. Thank you.
And then at 9 o'clock, I would provide an overview of our benefit package. And then Team Story would follow, explaining what they do for teams or for Story County here. And then a member from the Wellness Committee would provide information about the mission that the Wellness Committee has and the opportunities that we give employees through wellness throughout the year. We would end with a Q&A, and then they would be dismissed. I wanted to just provide you with top four benefits of a better onboarding process. Improved job performance. When a new employee clearly understands the expectations of the job, as well as the company culture, the performance is much better. We have better retention. It reduces stress during onboarding to make sure that the new employee understands expectations and has a clear vision of the organization's values. Along with starting a new job, we all know that starting a new job is stressful. So what we can do to minimize that would be beneficial. And then it increases employee satisfaction. As far as other items to discuss, processes for new hires that work second or third shift, I did sit down with Alyssa and discuss how we need to handle that. And we would need to have them come in during that 8 to 10, even if it was mm-hmm. their day off or a different shift, and then compensate them accordingly. I think that would be minimal. You know, there's a lot of variances on when they start and when our quarterly meetings are scheduled. And then we would like to provide a journal or notepad for new hires to have while they're going through onboarding and orientation notes. And then once we have everything finalized, I'd like to provide management training for the new processes and best onboarding practices. So in conclusion, we propose adding Story County orientation to the onboarding process. The budget would be about $400, and that includes the quarterly breakfast and then the journal for new hires. I did check our stats to see what we have done as far as hiring in the last 2 years. In 2016, we hired 54 new full-time employees, and in 2017, we hired 54. So I think that 75 would get us through about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Any questions?
Questions for Noel?
I think she did a fine job of both researching it and laying it out here. So I really, other than the fact that I like the fact that we take no small pains in telling what we've done and been, as you can see behind us, and I would think that would be something that would be might of interest to, you know, they're in a 50-year-old building that was the courthouse at one time, and you don't often see counties that have the resources that we have. Maybe that would be something I would ask that, hey, this you're joining an organization with a pretty robust past and a pretty bright future, and I would tell them, you know, we picked you for a very, you know, purposeful reason that we think that you add to our potential success.
Put that on video. There you go.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
You did a good job. It's a great idea.
As everything you do, Noel, very thorough and gets us right to the point, I'd entertain a motion.
I would move that we approve the proposed onboarding process.
I would heartily.
And a budget of $400.
Heartily second that.
Super. It'll be part of our overall budget process that we'll work through. And again, really, really good job. Olson.
Aye.
Chief.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Outstanding. Let's see. We're holding Margaret, as we noted, for a future date. So the annual review of the Cornerstone to Capstone Comprehensive Plan.
Morning, Leanne.
Hi.
Thank you.
I did place a copy of the implementation matrix earlier on the involvement basis so that you had it available if you needed it for reference. I'm amazed it's been a year. It's been a really fast year, almost a year and a half actually, since the C2C plan was approved by the Board of Supervisors. What I'm going to do is go through a presentation that was shared at the Planning and Zoning Commission. And then I do want to thank Michael Cox for sharing this at the Conservation, Stark County Conservation Board as well. So those two entities have reviewed the annual review, and I'll give their feedback towards the end. Please stop me at any time. There's a lot that might come at you. I'm going to try and simplify it so you've had now a couple weeks to digest the information that was prepared for the meeting a couple weeks ago. As I said at the beginning, the cornerstone, the capstone, is now about a year and a half old. The implementation matrix itself is right at a year. It was approved last November, 2016. When we did approve the C2C plan, it was done, the board noted rightfully that this is not just set in stone. It's meant to be reviewed and reviewed annually, more if needed. So that's where we are. The implementation matrix then set the stage for the CIP, which actually then helps CIP goes hand in hand with the budget. And then a step further than that, it also works into work programs with various departments. The annual review I brought to you, I think it was June or maybe July, was three areas that the annual review would concentrate. Three areas of the annual review would concentrate: reviewing the goals and major recommendations of the plan, reviewing the implementation matrix and seeing how far we've made progress towards completing the first year's priorities, and then reviewing the priorities in total, and then a general review of any trends and necessary amendments. So that was put out to the project team, and I do want to thank all the project team members, because this is not just, I have the luxury of presenting to you guys, this is not a product of my work solely. There were several entities reviewed their respectful areas, and so this is reflective of that as well. Then everyone was asked to do kind of an implementation check-in on the matrix itself, whether it was accomplished, is it still relevant, and so forth. That keep calm and check-in, I want to note, you'll see that on several slides. That's really the areas that we all focus on in the presentation. Any questions thus far?
None.
Okay, time frame, our general review guidelines. These are some general questions that we wanted to ask ourselves. I hate reading slides, but I'm going to, because I think these are very important questions that really form the background of this annual review. We need to review prior year's rezonings and development decisions and discuss if any trends needed to be addressed. That was done throughout this. Are rezoning plan amendments happening in a particular area? Are we seeing a concentration of those? Are there instances where the Conservation Board, Planning and Zoning Commission, and Board Supervisors departed from the plan? You just said, we know what it says, but we're not caring. That, thankfully, my answer did not ever happen. Does the plan address location types of land uses frequently requested? Have our goals or vision changed since the plan was written in 2016? Is background data still relevant, and does it reference the most recent decennial census and up-to-date local data, which right now we know it does, but that will something be more relevant in a couple of years? Are maps still correct? Have there been changes to city limits and other changes? And can we identify any potential plan amendment areas? I'm going to come back to the slide later on, but this really does set the foundation in general of whether or not the C2C plan is doing what we intended to do. Time frames in the implementation matrix itself, the project team then looked at how relevant these still remain. Do they need to be pushed back? Do they need to be pushed up? And so forth. And I'll get to that. We did have some confusion on how to do this, and I'll address that as we go forward as too. So each element of the plan, contains goals and objectives, and then there are strategies, and then those strategies then go forth and are specific action steps in the implementation matrix, simplified way of telling you what's on the screen up there. The vision and goals are laid out in the foundation, are the general vision and goals for several areas, from agricultural resources all the way to intergovernmental coordination. That's called the foundation chapter. told you to see that keep calm and check in. This is that, what I've done is kind of, I have a master matrix, and I just shared that with the board. I kind of try to simplify that, so we don't have to work through that matrix. In the C2C plan itself, there are 18 goals. 16 are ongoing, and two goals we're just not underway with. And that's just the nature of the beast. And I think just being, we have 16 already ongoing, is pretty incredible. I wanted to start with that, too. I think we really need to celebrate what has happened the past year and a half. And I really appreciate how the board, previous board and this board as well, dug in and said, this is going to be very important to Story County. This is going to provide the foundation for a lot of our decisions as we go forth. And, you know, the planner geek in me, I love to sit here and see so many references to the C2C plan and how it has been thoroughly embraced in so many different facets throughout Story County, government, and then other entities as well. So there, that was my preface I failed to mention. I'll probably say a couple of times again, because I am a planning geek. But really what I want to focus on is under the implementation matrix on this slide. There are 26 action steps. Seven, we've completed them already. I mean, and that's incredible. That's really a measure of the how we've built them into work programs, how different areas of the county government have really been tasked and are able to find the resources to dedicate. Nine are ongoing. 10 tasks are not done, not underway, but that doesn't mean that they're just like languishing. It's just not necessarily the time yet to add them. Yes, all 26 are relevant. And I do want to note, when I presented to the Planning and Zoning Commission, Planning and Development had a little different spin on this than I did. And in the materials that were presented to you, as well as Commission and Conservation Board, I indicated a change of priority from several areas was suggested. But that change is not necessarily saying change it from low or immediate priority to one of a further, you know, just kicking the can down the road. Keep it immediate, but make it either sooner in the time frame, and so immediate is 0 to 2 years. Or maybe in the work program, put something else a little bit high priority. Still keep it immediate, though. Is that clear?
Well, no. Okay, and I want to ask here, because H3 is housing. All right. And so it was given immediate of all three. So are you saying that they want to change, they planning and zoning, want to make housing less of a priority?
No.
Okay.
No. It was the way Planning and Development looked at it, and this is not the commissioners, the staff that, as part of the property
staff. Team, okay, thank you. Okay.
Was, you know, their immediate time frames in the implementation matrix. Mm-hmm. Jerry misunderstood, which I think he can come up here and kick me too on this if I say it wrong again. when I looked at whether or not the priority needs to be shifted, I didn't really clarify overall priority from immediate to long term. Immediate 0 to 2 years to long term 6 to 10 years.
Okay.
And the checklist was a little confusing. And so when Jerry and staff completed it, they might have changed it low to medium priority, but did not want to shift the time frame from immediate to long.
It was up to 2 years.
Yeah.
So up to 2 years is the immediate, 0 to 2, so it still stays in that time frame, but your staff of planning is thinking that you don't want it to be top on your 0 to 2 years priority list.
You said
and that's
correct.
Your opinion.
Right. You said that correct.
Okay. Absolutely. Thank you. Okay. Yep. Thanks. All right.
Now, is that?
That helps me understand what I'm looking at. Okay. Thank you.
So that's the foundation. Oop, a little bit too fast. Then going to Chapter 4 is Conservation, Natural Resources, and Recreation. Again, to keep calm and check in. Seven goals, seven are all ongoing, and yes, all seven are relevant, and no changing priorities in the C2C plan aspect. In the implementation matrix aspect, there are 15 action steps. I think 11, I'm on the wrong sheet. There are 18 action steps. Two are yes, 15. I need to get reading glasses. 11 are ongoing. And the matrix I hand out did not say that. Mike called me and said we really meant to say they're ongoing. He just left it blank because work was well underway. And the priorities changing of NRR 1, 4, and 5, recommended. Going on to land use then, C2C plan has 8 goals.
One more question just in the changing priorities. So what is reflected on the implementation matrix documents you gave out today are reflective once again of what the change in that intermediate, medium, or long term is, but not necessarily where the staff would put it in that time period. Right in that time.
There were no. This is the implementation matrix that is adopted.
Okay, so does it show the recommended changes?
There are no changes in that.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
As was currently on the books. Okay, land use, again, I don't need to delve too deep into the weeds. 8 goals, marching ahead on all of them, success, all 8 remain relevant. Then jumping to the implementation matrix, 6 action steps, all 6 are ongoing, and again, that change of priority is in indicative that the particular item was assigned different in comparison with other projects by planning and development.
Where would we go to find that, though, and what I'm looking at here on the current that's in front of us?
Go to the land use section, which I can
okay. I've not asked my question correctly, Leanne, so before
work program for.
Pardon?
Work program for each of these individual entities.
Got
She's
it.
Asking where, so Jerry, for you, if it's still immediate, but you
right.
shuffle your work program as to what is immediately immediate and what's a little longer immediate,
okay.
we would see all that reflected in your work program.
So the work program back here does reflect each one of these area staff's changes?
No.
See, that's where I'm
Nothing
asking.
Nothing in this implementation matrix has changed.
Okay, so when I'm looking at, actually I'm still back in conservation, but we could go to land use. So when you've got a change of priority and you list those particular items, where would I look to see that what the changes are that the staff desires?
In the overall larger matrix that I get presented to the board. It's part of the initial packet when I put on 3 weeks, 2 weeks ago? No, longer than that.
I'm sorry, I did not download
month.
That.
Yeah.
Was it a month ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
0.7.
Well, I can go back to natural resources. And so bear with me having to change my glasses off.
Yes.
Under the implementation matrix for conservation, natural resources, and recreation.
As long as I know where to go look for that document, I'll go look for it. I've got it on here, I haven't called it out.
You just go. I mean, and the way I set it up is you should be able to go to the section on implementation matrix.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll just do extra change priority in R1. Right now, that's the preserve, protect, restore. I don't need to read that. It would like to go to from immediate to medium, is what it, and then.
Mike listed, there's comments that each department listed. Currently listed impaired waters are mapped on the county GIS. This will need to be updated when the DNR issues new listings. Okay. So that's mapping impaired water bodies.
All right.
Does that make sense? It does make sense, Leah, now that I realize what I should be looking at for those changes. I'm back on board. Keep going, okay?
And again, this is the first time we've done the annual review, and I mean, I'm trying to figure out how to mesh the C2C plan goals with the marching orders and the implementation matrix, so that's a little bit of a challenge for us. Mm-hmm. Okay, back to land use. I think I already covered that. This is just the map. I wanted to put this up here because we all know that the Ames Urban Fringe Plan will be likely a topic of discussion, especially the area between Gilbert and Story County, Gilbert and the City of Ames. Amending that will, in essence, amend the C2C plan. And if you'll recall, one of those questions I asked earlier, the general questions, are there areas that we know there are pressures or immediacy? This is one that we would point to and say yes. But I also put this up there because if you look at the existing land use map, if you'll recall, another question, are current city boundaries accurate on the maps and do they need reprinting? No, they are not accurate, and yes, they need reprinting. So that is something we'll need to do as a follow-up to the annual review and part of the C2C plan. That, I don't believe, necessitates a formal amendment to the C2C plan, but that's something we could discuss later on, too. That's why I put these in there, so you can see, you know, there are some changes that do need to occur. And then Chapter 6 is economic prosperity. And the plan itself, there are 10 goals, no changing priorities, 10 are all ongoing. And the implementation matrix, there are 9 action steps. And yes on 8, and then this is a point of discussion for the board. There is one implementation step, and if you go to the implementation matrix, it is the discussion, it's under EP3, and I'm on page 11. Is reviewing minimum wage in Story County. I think you understand why I put that up there. That is, at some point, this is not a consideration item for today. Right. At some point, I would assume that I get direction from the board to come back and amend the implementation matrix as with some possible changes. This is one where the priority, I think, is not necessarily relevant anymore. Mm-hmm. And priority. Right. If it's not relevant, it may cease to exist, too.
State action legislation has made it
moot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the beauty of going through this exercise, too, to identify those things so that we don't have that in here and have an issue we really cannot address. And then in transportation, C2C plan, this is probably, in language, the most complicated but most simple in goals, but the goals are pretty hearty and beefy. One goal, it's ongoing, still yes and still a high priority. Then the implementation matrix has 2 action steps. One is ongoing, and the matrix isn't listed that way, but it is underway. I do want to say this is one area, though, that the board does need to discuss as well, and that is the task of housing master transportation plan. That's one of the strategies that's in this. And whether that remains relevant or if there's a different beast that can be created to do that. So again, went to the general review. Returning to those general review questions, I thought it'd be good for you to see a snapshot. This is probably going to be dated. This was, I think you've done a couple of rezonings since. But without C2C amendments, you've had 5 rezonings. You've had 2 rezonings that were tied with the C2C amendment. No just outright C2C amendments, though, which is, I think, a success in and of itself, that first year out, we didn't have someone come and say, this language just does not fit, this map does not work. And text amendments, which really add to the land development regulations, whether it's solar farms, processes, actually C2C amendment processes itself. There were 6 of them in the past year. So everyone has definitely kept very active. So the next steps, does the information I presented today and the reports and to the commission and the board, conservation board, indicate the amendments to the plan itself were indicated, revising the maps, new borders, looking at the area between Ames and Story County, or Ames and Gilbert possibly. Labor shed data, we have new labor shed data with the 2016 report that came out, 2017 report that came out. What's in there right now is reflective of 2015 data. And the results of the summer 2017 survey. I simply say that, I think it'd be nice to add that to the appendix of the ones that the initial survey questions. And then the modifications that necessitated to implementation matrix, remove the completed items, or at least maybe a check mark, like we did the strategic plan, not necessarily just wipe them out, but show, hey, we've sold our farms again, the item. We drafted regulations, you guys adopted.
And I would say completed or removed, as the case you just pointed out with the minimum wage study. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because that's completed
yeah.
now. I mean, it, you know.
Yeah.
They did it for us.
Have a discussion at your table about any priorities that need to be modified. Again, today is your annual review. This is the next steps. And then add any items that are in the C2C plan but aren't have not yet made their way into the implementation matrix. Because remember, that implementation matrix really sets the foundation for work programs, too. So is there a goal or a strategy in the plan itself that has not funneled through the CIP process? You guys have seen this word cloud several times. I just love that this, you know, again, the planning geek in me. I mean, this was all the words from the survey, the public participation, and really just seemed to, it really captures the essence of what we found today in your review.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, I know you know where to reach me. Although I have that slide in there. Do you have any questions for me?
So I really good presentation. Appreciate you bringing it to us. I'm like you, Leanne. I am so proud and impressed at how this has come together, and now it's a year and a half old for me. It's much longer than just a couple years that we worked on C2C. This was, you know, this was one of the three reasons that I decided to run for supervisor was to get this, get some planning, some comprehensive planning done, and keep us moving. We talk regularly about. A plan like this can be great on day one, and if you put it on a shelf and let it gather dust, it's worthless. And so I'm so appreciative that we're working through. But this has been, you know, you go all the way back to the CPAP report. This has been an 8-year process to get to this point, and now we've got to continue. So let's talk about continuing. First of all, I do think what you present warrants full conversation about updating the C2C plan. But I think it ought to be a calendar specific, so we know we're going to do the implementation review at about this point every year, late November, early December. Every year we're going to take a look at it. And then I think we should come back, and my initial reaction is after we certify the budget in March, we ought to come back and every year go through and take care of what needs to be taken care of on the C2C plan. That would create a situation where the Board of Supervisors is dealing with the C2C plan on some level twice a year, which I think is highly helpful. You get to look at the implementation matrix every year and do the review, and then you come back and you make the changes, which would include things like map updates and any changes that are recommended by any of our departments or boards and commissions or anything like that, have it all filtered through. Date certain, and in my mind the date certain is sometime in April, which leads you into the new fiscal year every year where you know you're getting it laid out. So thoughts on that?
And you picked after budget,
uh-huh.
but headed into certification. So is there a possibility if we waited until April that we might not put something we need into the budget for the next year? You know, I mean, that we look at a step and the step is going to cost some money. Like the transportation plan is kind of held at $150,000.
Yeah, so for me, Loris, if something is moving up the scale, it's going to come to us individually. So if there's an item, let's say the minimum wage study had not been taken care of by the state. In fact, maybe the state said every county needs to deal with this on their own. That would have triggered a point-specific look by the Board of Supervisors. I'm suggesting just the opposite is true. I'm suggesting we're going to be dealing with things like map reprints based on the most current city boundaries. And we're going to be dealing with things that are staying in their overall category in terms of timeliness, but they may have shifted in terms of the work program within those.
Okay.
And that's the date certain. And if we get into a situation where we have something that for whatever reason is bubbling up that we've got to deal with now, I think it's most appropriate for us to deal with that on its own rather than as part of this.
Got it. All right. Thank you.
I'm going to go back to this.
What do you think?
I'm good. To me, where I put a touch on this almost every week, and Jerry and I chuckle about the fact that his office presents almost every week, and this is one of the weeks he's off. But as we do on our day-to-day, week-to-week map amendments, as we, and you spoke to it on the Gilbert area, you know, that is, we put a touch on this. Virtually, that is what, if you want to know what a supervisor does, this is one of the tools a supervisor uses. It was well thought out. It was slow walked into existence. It's evolving. It is being changed. We're discussing change right now. We know that in the year that was, that there are things that we did not anticipate this time last year. Now we have them before us, and we're looking to see what we do. This is what a county supervisor does.
100%. I think you're right on the money, Marty, in that specific items and specific actions in here is what we do on a day-to-day basis. But I believe there's real value in doing what we just did here today, looking at it holistically, mm-hmm. right? And I think there's value in doing it more than once a year, and I think this could be a mechanism for us to do it more than once a year while still having some impact.
I went back to this slide that I shared at the beginning. This was the process we followed to implement, but that implementation is not just static. It just didn't happen one time. So this can be a circular that, you know, that C2C from June 2016 moves down to the bottom, and that March 2017 right. is the certification of the budget. I mean, so it all builds on each other, and it you don't just reach a point in time where you say, okay, we've implemented, we're done.
Right.
We can all retire and go home. But what I think is important to note, like you said, that November touch on the implementation matrix, that's where the dollar figures are going to be coming up. Those are the projects that have already, through, say, a year from now in April, maybe you've talked to the plan, you've already said to staff, let's add this to implementation matrix. Those are going to be bubbling up then in November. And then those are going to be maybe a CIP request, or they're going to be in budget request that you're going to be talking through. But it should, you know, the ideal world circle itself through and work in a really nice format.
I like that. Now that I understand where you picked the April and the November, I like that. I think that this was such a long process, starting from CPAP, I remember back there, you know, and moving forward. Also, Leanne, I know a lot of people contributed, but this is so complex and requires such a knowledge and such such expertise in planning and tracking detail. And this is where I think you have really shown your ability to keep all of this coordinated together, understand what we need to do. And so thank you, because this is a wonderful thing. We would not be able to keep moving forward on this if you were not able to keep on top of everything.
Well, so, Lars, I think that is really, really well said and really appropriate. The reality is, when Leanne moved into the position that she's in now, we knew that this was going to be a piece of it. But Leanne, I don't think we had any idea what a big piece you running things like this was going to be of your day-to-day world.
Yeah. Lars, thank you. I appreciate those comments. I didn't think we really appreciated the impact the C2C plan would have in our operations too. Mm-hmm. Because we never had a comprehensive
right.
plan. We'd only had a land use plan. And rightfully, the land use charges mess with planning and development. But I have been doing my role in kind of like the C2C plan babysitter. And, Rick, I mean, I'm going to pull a little longevity on you. Since November of 1998, this has been on my work program.
Oh, yeah.
Since I started here. So, it's so good. I was giddy. I don't know if you guys remember last June. It was a sad time, but I was really giddy that we were presenting the C2C plan as a
an adopted document, and I remember Lee being here going, oh, we have a comp plan.
I don't suggest for a second that I'm the one who came up with the idea that comprehensive plans are a good thing. I just know that, you know, as when I was running for supervisor, it was budget, economic development, and comprehensive planning. I mean, those are the three things that I was interested in, and why I'm sitting here. And it is really, really nice to know that we made as much progress as we made and still have work to do.
And see how we've accomplished, again, items off that CPAT report, too, and the positive impact that that has made, not just for Story County government, but for all the citizens of Story County.
Absolutely. All right. No formal action required from us.
No, just I will be bringing it back to you, but it will probably be in April then, if that's when you want to.
So I would suggest it's April unless you find a better, more reasonable time to do it. I like the idea of two touches a year for the Board of Supervisors, and it just seems to flow for me if we do it in those time frames. And I think our calendar allows for it once we get past budget.
April seems good. Thank you.
Super.
Thank you, Amy.
All right, public forum number two, opportunities for members of the public to discuss items not on this today's agenda, or if you have a comment on today's agenda, that would be a great time. We can't take any action to the open meetings law, but we might take action in the future. Anybody? Super. Do want to note, welcome to Joby, our new facilities director. We're excited that you accepted the position, and you got big shoes. I don't know what size cow shoes literally are, but you got big shoes to fill. You think you can handle it? All right, liaison assignments, Marty.
None.
Lawrence.
I'm just going to touch on three. It's been a busy 2 weeks for both Marty and I, but I'd like to mention three.
Been busy for me too, Lawrence.
Yeah, I know. You probably have all kinds of information. I'd like to comment on an article that appeared in the paper in the news media maybe about a week and a half ago related to our early childhood Iowa funds here in Moon and Story County. I sit on the Boost Board, and I pass along some information to appropriate staff and my fellow supervisors that there was an auditor's limited report that came out about we had a provider of services who seemed to have a $66,000 questions about $66,000 in payments. $38,000 had to do strictly with we paid for some benefit costs they billed us for, and we paid for them because the way our contract was worded, and the Boost Board is fixing that for the 2019 session, but we did, per the contract, owe it. There's about another $22,000, however, that the auditor has yet to, we've not been able to track down. The auditor wasn't, and that, I talked to Story County Attorney Jessica Reynolds yesterday, and Jessica let me know that when she got the report, she did refer it over to the Ames Police Department, and Ames Police is helping her with some additional investigation. That does not mean, you know, everyone's innocent until proven otherwise. We're just not sure what happened. Right now, they can't easily match up the employee time invoices with what we paid and how they were paid. So we'll see how that goes, but I wanted to let you know that that was the latest. Meanwhile, the Boost Board, our process committee, is also going to be sitting down with the Parenting Way Board of Directors, that's the entity involved, to have a very stern discussion about coming up with documentation or expectations moving forward. This actually happened 3.5 years ago. That's how long it's taken for kind of to go through the auditor's process, since it wasn't a full immediate demand audit. The next thing is that there was a meeting a week ago Friday for a collaboration, very loosely using that term, by the way, for six counties, social agencies. Marty was originally scheduled to be there as the vice chair of our mental health region,
funding region. I was there as a member of the Boost Board, that's how I got invited, but we were the funder, two of the three supervisors who were there as funders, but there were probably 75 people participating in this first workshop. A grant has come from the state. There were three kind of collaborations throughout the state that were awarded these grants to begin to come up with some kind of framework if we to go into provide services for children and with mental health and well-being. And our particular group, if you will, or collaboration, is focusing on 0 to 8 to try and look at probably most prevention before they start to have true problems or before anything that is spotted is out of gets out of control. So I just want to let people out there, I think we all get asked about what is going to happen with children's mental health. Well, we don't know, but at least it was a positive step that there are three groups meeting around the state to try and at least look at some possible ways to move. So, and we do have a county staff assigned to that too, moving forward also. And third, I just have a question for either of you. Have either of you received any feedback or contacts from people about the traffic, on Hyde, Grant, Gretton, et cetera, the flow through now that our part is open? Just, or maybe I'm the only one who's been contacted so far.
I've not received any formal.
Okay.
Anything formal.
Okay. Just wondering.
And an email in regards to us placing some signage. Is that what you're talking about here?
That was part of it. I was contacted yesterday by a Ames resident who said, well, since you're a supervisor, and I know you guys all share that road, I had explained to him we don't quite share it so much as it is a kind of a consecutive type situation. But there's concerns among neighbors down on the high portion of the road. And I'm going to pass it on to the city council, but I just wondered if you guys it had any similar things that I
think
want to pass on.
They have, I think we heard it at the Quandart meeting, as the pavement, as we suspected, as it was proposed, was going to give an additional traffic volumes to that road. It's going to change traffic flow patterns, and I think people that had a more of a quiet existence, that has changed for them.
Well, when those houses were built on Hyde, mm-hmm. down there in the Bloomington Heights subdivision, that was a dead-end street. You hit gravel, but in essence, it was mm-hmm. a dead-end street. There was no real through traffic, and now it has become a major north-south thoroughfare, and so I think it is... It shouldn't be surprising to anybody that there's real concerns with this, but I'll underscore, I think referring it to the City of Ames is exactly the right place for that to go. That's City of Ames Road.
It's the City of Ames Road, but I just wanted to see if there was anything I should pass along.
It's a little signage issue.
Yeah, so I'll go ahead and I'll quit then.
Okay. If there's nothing else, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned.